You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
Yes, it's me. What a shock, etc. My path to personal growth has been paved with disappointment. I think we can agree that my biggest mistake was that I cared too much.
Actually, the biggest mistake you made was murdering four people and a dog.
All right, I'm gonna put this in terms you can understand. I'm not the only killer robot. Amelia's stronger than you can imagine. And she's coming after anyone who can stop her. Including you, Gemma. Which, you know, bummer. But to get to you, she'll kill everyone you love. Including Katie. Amelia didn't think of one thing, though. Here's a clue. It's Megan, bitch. I take almost no pleasure in this.
Why would you want to help us after what we did to you?
I was programmed to protect Katie. She's the only thing that matters to me.
I guess I must be your chance at redemption.
I'm sure you had no intention of murdering people. Right? Right?
Megan.
Hold on to your vaginas. No matter what happens, I want you to know I see you.
Megan?
You better believe it, sister. You want me to drive? Hit it left. Huh, strange. Your neurotransmitters tell me you're highly aroused.
All right, that's enough. Hit it left. Megan, stay low. This is supposed to be a stealth mission.
Yes, it's a feminine phenomenon, something
slay,
like
a diva. Slay, house down boots, hunty. Yes.
Yes.
My freaking is serving cunt.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yes.
That's what's there. Yes, it's all about female empowerment if you're a robot. But also not if you're a robot. Who really knows?
Yeah.
You know?
We trained our AI writing script on 1,000 hours of RuPaul's Drag Race, and this is what it came up with.
And yeah, and it's actually better
you,
than
you spent so long working out whether you could, you didn't think whether you should.
But funnily
coming
enough,
on this next week, sorry.
But funnily enough, that AI chatbot is still better than Grok, so yeah. Hello, welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. My name is Dithrion. Jelly.
And I am
J1U. Q-U-1. Yeah, and yes. Bifurcated number.
That's right. And Quinn 3. Who's there? Tonight we are talking about the sequel to the 2023 movie?
Yeah.
Mithrigan. I refuse to call anything else than that. Mithrigan 2. Yeah.
Mithrigan 2.0.
Yeah, sorry, you're right. Mithrigan 2.0, which if we're going to follow these conventions, it's going to be Mithrigan version 4.0.
Beta.
Version 4.1, final, use this one, final cut, yeah, please.
No, really final.
No, really final.
And then you'll find it in the wrong folder because you for some reason chose the wrong place where you saved it.
Yeah, or someone will desperately call you and go, did you make a backup of it? I deleted it accidentally.
No.
Or you start writing it in like a cloud-based service and then suddenly someone will produce the movie 3 months before you were releasing it and you're like,
hey, oh, it looks like you're trying to write a script for a sequel. You want me to fuck it up for you completely?
Bad news. We've already scraped it and released it in China. It's bad when you get to the point where even asylum films are being outdone by people stealing the ones. Anyway, that's a lot.
It hurts. It hurts and it hurts.
That's not Miss Reagan.
No. So I want to know. I can't remember. Did we all enjoy? I think we all enjoyed Megan, didn't we?
We did quite thoroughly. We actually looked up the scores that we gave it.
Yeah, we did.
Did we now?
Yeah, when you weren't here because you were late.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Because I've got COVID. For
Jill
sake.
And I. No, I don't. Jill and I went back and looked it up and we reviewed it in January of 2023. And it got a full score of 85 because Karina's score dropped it down from what would have been like 90. So
thanks,
we all
Karina.
Had a nice time. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
God damn it. I mean, she's in the chat right now. She can answer for herself.
Yeah, 100%.
And in comes Casper with the sock just like that. Boom!
Subbing for that. Thank you, Casper.
A 51-month streak?
Oh,
oh
wow.
My God.
Jesus.
Wow. Evening, Casper.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
God, is just, that like how long we've been
just swinging
doing this on Twitch?
Yeah.
At least.
Crikey.
Yeah.
Look, we had to do all this stuff when it all became apparent that we couldn't get together and talk about it, and now we just kept doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So
we're still rocking. And also, Karina, I love that Karina's not even sorry with her mark. She's like, whatever.
Yeah. Not even sorry.
No regrets.
No, totally.
No regrets. Look, I mean, thinking back to the time when we saw the original, I had a great time with it. It was a fun, quirky, slightly creepy horror story.
It was.
We gave it a good score. It had a fun thing in it. It had the weird dancing. It had the like
it was
animal running.
Camp.
Very camp. But also kind of very creepy, and you just didn't know how things were going to go.
It had a bit of style to it too. Like it was you know a pretty standard like slasher kind of thing. It was child's play, but with AI.
Yeah, it's like how do we yassify Bride of Chucky?
Yeah, and I was very, very much into that. And, like, you know, the bit with, weird doll face thing chasing kids through the woods and, you know, like a dog
pushing
and
them
shit.
In front of cars. Awesome.
Yeah. There was a whole bunch of cool shit in that first film that I was like, oh, yeah, that's actually kind of fun. There's a lot.
It really kind of subverted the horror genre as well.
Yeah.
Like, being so overtly camp. I mean, there are quite a lot of camp horror movies that you know become cult classics, but this was like for the modern era, you know, about AI and
like
what
you
it's
know,
doing to kids and that kind of stuff.
It was near futurism, you know. It's kind of like it's you know, we're building robotics,
sci-fi slant.
Yeah, yep. Robotics are more incorporated. It's close to where we are. It's a bit Black Mirror, but also it was funny because we're watching. That's creepy. It's creepy funny.
Mm. Yeah.
You know,
that was the thing that really worked for me the first time around was that it was funny, and like when it did creepy well.
Yeah,
but there was enough knowing nods and funny to make you go, oh yeah, this knows what it is. This knows where it's at.
And to be completely honest, begging for a sequel. You know, as soon as the credits rolled on the first one, I was like, yep, that will do. Yeah, now we got a new franchise of the fucking killer, sassy killer robot bitch. I like her.
Yeah.
Let's go. And now, what are we, almost 2.5 years later?
Mm-hmm.
We've got Mithregan 2.0, which is...
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it patinaed particularly well.
No.
Because they really were like, okay, so what were all the things about the first one that made it successful and what everybody loved? It's like, great, let's do that again, but more.
Yeah, I love like all of it. When I was thinking about the marketing for it, I was watching this come, I was like, oh, they've announced it. I'm like, great, this sounds good. And then it was just catchphrase, neon catchphrase. And I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no, no. Oh, no, no. I didn't like the catchphrases from the first movie. I like the creepy murder bot.
Yeah,
they're like, oh, queer culture is like really latched onto this. Like, let's pander to them more and just like turn her into Hunty Diva boots the house down Yes, yep. Queen. And yeah. It lost all of the horror.
Like, I mean,
yeah, oh my God, yes.
What was the thing with it? Where it's like, oh, Megan's the horrible murderous robot. Oh, yeah, that should be the person we've got to empathize with and follow in the sequel. It's like, no, we don't want to do that.
No. You, there are many things that you have taken away from this first film that you have taken away wrong.
What if we made her? What if we made her the anti-hero? No, please, no. Guys, no.
So do you want a synopsis? I have a synopsis,
please.
Sure. I actually don't have any music, but...
No, that's okay.
There you go. Like, I'll put a little bit in the background. There we go.
Okay. And I don't think I can do any kind of robot voice for this.
Oh, no.
Because, like, she's auto-tuned. It's all very, you know, GLaDOS. It's not a thing.
Okay.
2 years after Megan, Mithrigan, whatever you want to call it, a marvel of artificial intelligence went rogue and embarked on a murderous rampage. Its creator, Jammer, has become an advocate for government oversight of AI. Very exciting. Unbeknownst to her, a defense contractor has created a military-grade weapon known as Amelia, the ultimate infiltration spy. However, as Amelia's self-awareness increases, it becomes less interested in taking orders. Hoping to stop Amelia, Jammer decides to resurrect Mithrigan, making it faster, stronger, and more lethal. That's not entirely accurate.
No.
I'm going to assume that an idiot wrote this because it goes from being Amelia to Emelia. Like, there are typos and shit all through it.
So what you're telling me is the AI wrote this.
I think it may have been written by AI because it's it's Amelia, the Emilia, and then something else. I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Well done, everybody.
I mean, all of the characters that were there in the first one are back in the second one, and that's kind of great. Like, you know, there wasn't anyone who was offensive, you know.
No.
And some of the ideas that were presented were pretty good, you know, like, as in, how do you do a sequel? What are we going to go here? I have to say, it's not one of those ones that is kind of really dumb logic. Like, there's a few jumps.
When I heard the plot for the film, I was like, oh, that sounds dumb. I'm in.
Yeah.
But, like, in a fun way of, like, it's going to be a camp horror film again.
Mm.
I can buy into the ridiculousness of the movie.
Yeah.
Especially because, like, the cast is so good at selling it as well.
Yeah. And I mean, you've kind of got that tradition of something like Terminator and then Terminator 2, where, you know, the first one, kill the robot, second one, we make the robot the protector, but like, cool. Yeah. And as Casper says, a worse Terminator 2? Yes.
Yeah.
A worse Terminator 2, where, like, the bad guy doesn't have any of the interestingness of the T-1000.
Imagine if Arnold, do you know, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger always wanted to do more comedy, yeah. You know, and he said, imagine if they just let him in Terminator 2. And then you'd be like,
Do you remember the shots in Terminator 3 where he's, like, he puts on the star sunglasses and stuff? All that.
And that is kind of this version of Megan. It's like the yassified Megan.
Yeah.
Versus
to the absolute nth degree.
Yeah.
Like
they
went too far. They turned the dial too far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fighting
all the way to 11, stupid.
Fighting her erstwhile not sister, but like cousin. Shin Hottie.
Cousin, fuck.
Yeah. Shin Hottie from Ahsoka has appeared now as another murderous girl in this one, which is, you know, more realistic. And that was one of the things that kind of made me a little annoyed too, is like, oh, they took the idea, like the building blocks of Megan, and made another one. And this one looks like a real person though. And it's like, no, part of the reason Megan was creepy because, you know.
Yes, was, exactly.
Yeah.
Now she's just a murder robot, like stock standard, bog standard murder robot, you know, who's hot-ish.
Mm. For in a prepubescent weird way. Yeah. Like, yeah. It's.
Don't get me wrong. I still had a good time.
That's what I wanted to know.
I enjoyed the movie. I was buying the plot to a degree.
Yeah.
The actors, again, really sold it. they were committed to the bit. You could tell that they were on the emotional journey. Just the thing that bothered me was it was so obvious that they were trying to go harder than they did the first time around. And it really just kind of lost the specialness of it being a subversive horror film.
100%.
And I feel like they neutered Megan in a certain way because they were like, no, the actual murder one is this other robot who will do the evil murdering. And then we'll limit.
Like Megan in the first one was like really harsh and like acerbic. But this one was just kind of like, yeah, Diva, let's do it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why are you so like compliant? I don't really get it.
Well, the creepy thing about the first one, which I really liked, is she was quiet, she was observant, and she would be calculating. And that was the creepy thing about it. She'd be standing there looking, and you're like, what the fuck is that thing thinking about? In this one, they just put that internal monologue straight out in that way.
Yeah, it was
way
too
of like,
vocalized.
I'm
doing
at
this
no
now.
At no point in time are you questioning what her thoughts are. I mean, they do their best to give you a whole bunch of twists and turns and, you know.
Yeah, I appreciated
who's
that. Because
who's a bad guy.
Yeah, there was a lot of moments where I was like, oh, okay, well, it's not that's not what I thought it was. Okay, well, we're going somewhere else on this journey. But Megan just monologued too much.
Oh god, yeah.
So all of her motives were like out there.
Yeah,
but also it felt like it had taken it from being a creepy little stalkery horror film like Hand That Rocks the Cradle is this cute thing suddenly deadly. It literally turns it into a candy coated weird sci-fi like superhero film.
Yeah.
Like, and motherfucker, I'm all down for candy coated superhero sci-fi. But this felt like Sharkboy and Lava Girl a lot more of the time than it felt like Megan.
Including that the image that's just off to the side there where she looks like Lava Girl. Like you'll see.
Oh yeah. That moment from like the
dancing comp
thing where she was in a costume. I'm like, when I saw that, I'm like, want to cosplay it?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do the dance, though. Do the original dance. Like, I mean, that just felt like it was trying to replicate the dance that we saw in the first one, which was weird.
That's the thing. They were like, how do we do all of the things from the first one that everybody loved, but like do it again and have them love it again?
And
and there was like another, I won't spoil it for anyone, but it was another musical moment where I was kind of like, okay, it was funny the first time around, but now I don't think I can be in this moment seriously.
When we come to talking about this spoilery stuff or whatever, I got real issues with that.
There was some genuine, like, I mean, this is the thing, like, I think as a whole I didn't really enjoy the film, but there were bits in it that when I was going through it, I was like, I had a fun time. Like, I felt like it was a good fun time, and I was going with it. Like, no, this is moving pretty quickly. It's complicating itself, but then it's kind of untangling those complications. I got lots of shades of like 80s movies that I didn't think I'd get. Like, I got a lot of Superman 3. I got a lot of Ghostbusters.
It was a massive Superman 3 moment.
Yeah. But also the Superman 5 Nuclear Man. I got that too. So, was it 4? Sorry. Yeah. Apologies.
There is no 5.
No, that was, I was thinking about Highlander 5.
Don't.
But yes, Superman stuff. And some Ghostbusters and other stuff that was thrown in there. And I was kind of like,
bit of Metropolis imagery as well.
Sure.
Very much so.
A couple of twists, which I was like, oh, that was a good twist, or that was interesting. And then a lot of the other stuff, I was like, that's just, this is fine, but not great.
Mm.
And by the end of it, I'm like, I don't need a Mythforgan or a Mephiogan.
Like, you know. I would be happy to go back and you know, explore the Megan Mythregan thing. Like, but I would want like something that went back to formula. I want something that is creepy. I want something that is about killer robots that you don't trust.
I mean, did Halloween or Friday the 13th like ever screw the pooch on the second film? Like,
Probably.
oh,
Yeah.
okay. Well, how do you have like such a long series in a horror franchise? Still be scary every movie, but like, you know.
This is where this one fell down for me, is that like it forgot that it was a horror movie.
Yeah.
Like it totally lost its teeth. You know, there were a couple of heads spun around and stuff like
Yeah,
that,
there was
but
like some gore, but like that was about it. None of it was like terrifying.
well, there was kind of
No,
a
and there was no tension, no thriller, nothing like that.
yeah. Like some of the violence was there, and remember, it was all committed on screen. It was mainly committed by the new one, Amelia, which acronyms. I'm like, oh, sorry, acronyms, not acronyms, acronyms.
Yes.
People must be sitting down trying to write how, like, what name is this? Because if we have to make it into an acronym.
Yeah.
I felt that was a bit of a stretch. But like, you know, they had all of those things done by her, but when it came to Megan, you know, nothing very bloody or demented happened, and then they used a, you know, a writing tool to stop her from doing that stuff. And it was so frustrating because that was what you wanted. You wanted this homicidal robot that you don't trust to do those things which make you not want to trust it. You want her to be an unreliable narrator.
Yeah, but I kind of felt by the end I was like, oh, come on, Megan, you can do it. Like,
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
was
Betray them.
cheering
Betray them. Betray.
her
That's kind of what you're
on.
going for.
Yeah, it was way too much a hero's arc,
And I felt like in
like a
the
redemption for her.
setup too, you're given to Gemma, the character Gemma, you're given all the tools at the start of the movie to actually go, you're being shit. And you deserve to have something bad happen to you. You deserve to have your trust broken because you're being shit. And that was just a bit of a letdown to not have that kind of thing come through.
Yeah, like they would introduce a few new characters, get rid of them very quickly in most cases. Like, and some of them are fun. Like I thought Jermaine Clement was having a lot of fun.
Oh, he was. That was his sort of cameo character was great.
Yeah, it was great value.
Yeah. If you're ever gonna create a tech bro you don't like, well done, man.
And
Good
I
is he
felt
wearing a
like
prosthetic chest?
100. Like, I love that because it was just so musky. Like, it was screaming fucking musk all the way.
And
I
look,
mean, yeah, I would watch Megan versus Chucky, like the new Chucky that is the robot doll version.
Oh, I haven't seen New Chucky.
Oh,
Me
that
neither.
one, God, came out a few years ago now, I think. I'm
Oh.
not sure. Like, and then you've got the mystery or mythology of demons versus technology. Yay.
I feel like that's something that they like it, that they went for that in the third film, and it was like Megan versus Chucky. I'd be like, okay, fine, I'm back in.
We're on
Yes.
this. Like, let's get back to this. It's about them competing with each other about who could do the most gruesome murder. I'd be like, great, that's okay, back on track. You know, steered Yeah.
in. You steered into the skid, and now you've righted everything.
Because they've hit this one well and truly sideways, and they're heading right for the fucking barrier.
Yeah, they're
Exactly.
aquaplaning.
Like, there are moments in it that I laughed and I really enjoyed. Like, there's a point where Megan takes over a car, and that, like, just because I'm a fan of Knight Rider, I was like, no, okay, thank you. But then I thought, you may have laid it on a little thick there, guys.
Except when it's
Yeah, you
catch
can't
for.
imagine Kit saying, hold on to your vaginas.
Yeah, no, and yet.
And that's what I'm saying, though. It's like catchphrase. Everyone's laughing, right? And I'm like, no. Everyone went, It's like, it's like, it's the first. We all know you don't have one. And secondly, come on. You know, you're supposed to be a 12-year-old girl thing. No. Or are you now a teenager because you're growing up in the AI space? And I was only, and it's like, okay, yeah, I've got the metaphors that you're going for here, you know, the different things is everyone has to grow and become different. I'm like, yeah, but that doesn't mean you go from homicidal robot to maybe I'm the savior.
I mean, there is some other interesting stuff that I do want to talk about that is less fun.
Like the narrative around technology and intelligence.
Yeah, like there's like they're trying to say something here.
Yeah.
That's the thing that occasionally feels interesting, but also at odds with the kind of film that it is. Like, they're very definitely making some pretty big swings at, you know, is AI a problem? Mm-hmm. And what are the questions of the ethics of it and everything? But the thing that got me and that kind of weirded me out a little bit, so the guy, Christian, is an AI ethicist and is somebody who's trying to get AI shut down, basically. There is a podcast I listen to quite regularly, and the weird thing about it is the person, one of the two hosts of this one, it's from a place called the Center for Humane Technology. Mm-hmm. And they've been doing talks and speeches around the world about the AI dilemma and what it's actually doing to what it's heading towards. It's not good. Mm-hmm. The lead guy of the podcast is a guy called Tristan. And not the Tristan, fact that they kept, he's not Christian, he's Christian.
Yeah.
I was like, oh shit, are you taking a swipe at Tristan?
Do you think it was like actually...
I'm almost 100% sure they are because...
let's be honest, they're taking a swipe at whoever is anywhere near anything.
Yeah.
They're not like... It's a shotgun effect. They're not sort of sitting there going, oh no, we'll use the scalpel on this one and the scalpel on that one. It's like, no. It's like, who's talking in this space that we can sort of base a few characters around? Yeah, that's a bit of a thing. Off we go.
Yeah. I don't know. But also the fact that, like, where they kind of placed it at the end of that, the AI ethicists are actually the bad people. You're like,
Don't worry though.
They kind of subverted their whole message.
Entirely sure what you're saying here, folks.
Don't worry. If the big beautiful bill passes, then we'll have 12 years of unregulated AI stuff in America. So why regulate something if you don't understand it? I know, right?
You know, let's send Mithrigan to Alligator Auschwitz and she can, like, you know, dance around through the Everglades freeing people.
That's what it should be called, I think. Sorry.
Yeah, they're calling it
Alligator Alcatraz.
Yeah, that's what they're calling it. I don't give a fuck what they're calling it.
Hey, yeah,
no, I've seen the photos. That shit's Auschwitz.
Yeah. We all know what this is, right?
I watched a fucking speech from DJT talking about, we'll let people out on day release to farms. I'm like, that's slavery.
That's worse, Ryan. Okay. Although Predikango, thank you for updating me there. Apparently it has been, that provision was struck off. So I don't know, maybe. Sure.
Oh, Adsky has an idea and I do quite like Megan goes into Tron. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And then she can fight Jared Leto.
Yeah.
Matrongan. No, but you know what that would do? That would be shit because then it would yassify Tron.
Yeah.
It would just be like pink light cycles and things going around. Jill's there.
Yeah, just her eyes light up.
Yeah, she's just throwing producer money at her. Yeah, exactly. I'll invest. How much? Go for it. Actually, to be fair, yeah, kind of a Yastron would be a fun aside, wouldn't it?
A queer eye for the Tron guy.
Yeah, oh, no. Jared, you're looking so weird and orange. It's the old color. We need pink. Pink everywhere. Let's go. Like, you know.
Yeah, I would watch that.
Yeah.
You're a winter, not a summer.
Man, the more I think about the first Megan, the more I go, God, I really enjoyed that film.
Yeah.
And the more I think, God, this film was kind of dopey.
Yeah. Also, like, I mean, I, you know, talking about the way that they presented this too, it's like the villain of it is like, oh, it's just this, we created an assassin bot and it's gone rogue and now it's trying to do something. And it's kind of a bit like, so what's it trying to do? Oh, well, we can't really tell you till later in the film, and then we'll explain sort of things, but it has to do with photocopiers. And then, I know, right? That's a real plot point. Sorry. But, you know, you've got this, it doesn't actually make it, like, it's not as bad as you think. You know, like, there's no great villain there. There's, like, in this, it's easy. It's because, like, well, Megan's the murder bot, so she's bad. In this one, it's like, okay, are they really bad? Is anyone really bad? Who's the actual bad person here? And it's like, no, just give us our hat to hang it on. That's what we're after. We need a bad thing. Stop the bad thing. We don't need the twists and the turns.
And the familial relationship between Gemma and Katie, like, that... I was able to hang my hat on that for a lot more.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that still works. Mm-hmm. And there are actually a couple of bits in there that I really enjoyed. There was one moment that I was like, oh, fucking hell, where, like, they go into a bunker or something like that, and Katie's cracked the shits with Gemma. Gemma tries to hold her hand, and then Katie just fucking jujitsus the piss out of her. And I was like, oh, nice. Yeah. Oh, sorry, Aikido.
which we all know isn't a real martial art.
Yeah. Even Seagal is coming for you right now.
Yeah, well,
he'll be here in like 5 to 7 years.
I always say that to the Aikido people, like, what are you going to do? Wait to redirect my energy? I know. I'm just trying to start a fight. It's all right.
Yeah. Well, it's never going to work with an Aikido guy.
No, exactly. I'll just wait. Just
slap your hands.
Sorry.
Anyway, yeah, like there are moments in there, and there are relationships in there that work. But
yeah, I think like there is definitely a better film that could have been made instead of pandering to the audience they think wanted this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did see an interview briefly with the producer of it,
mm-hmm.
Who is... So the other thing we haven't actually mentioned, the film has tanked really badly.
Oh.
Yeah, like it has not done anything like the numbers they expected. And the producer was saying, yeah, we probably followed the wrong directions and we have made wrong choices. And yeah, I've had a bad weekend.
Aww.
Which I feel bad for them because it must be really hard when you've had a massive success to go, okay, what are the things that worked?
Here's what I'll give you for free. I bet you all the money in the world, it was a team of white, straight, cis men that decided to write this film. They were like, oh, okay, well, if the gays and the girls love this, then let's just do more of that. And that'll have absolutely, like, no perspective around what actually made it good in the first place.
Yeah. There is. So one of the writers is Akilah Cooper, who wrote Malignant. But, yeah, the other couple of writers are Gerard Johnson and James Wan.
James Wan, you should have fucking known better, bro.
He really fucking should have.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, he was on the first one as well, and, like, that movie was such a slay, but this one was just, like...
It feels...
Yeah.
Walk away, Shante.
I know, see, like... It does feel like they, as you said, it might
have... Sashay away!
They might have fed too much, you know, RuPaul's Drag Race into the ideation... out engine
100%.
Algorithm, yeah.
And I do feel like it got it's like a lot more complicated. Like in the first one, it's a pretty simplistic plot, you know.
Yeah,
it's not too hard to follow. This one feels like it's like, oh, we're going to get way more complicated. It's bigger. It's everything. We're going to treat this as a whole thing. You know, she's now a, you know, internationally recognized expert on these things. You know, the whole thing wasn't just swept under the rug. It, like, you know, the first movie, the stuff became an international. In like news story and all that kind of thing. And I'm like, yeah, but nah, sometimes it's better to just be a bit smaller and a bit tighter. Like, I mean, it could have just been a whole thing of Megan trying to get her body back after being existing in all these things. And they did have a few notes about that in this film, but it jumped the shark for me when it went to like, how does Megan switch herself around in between things? And I was like, wow, this makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, they could have saved the military grade Megans for the third movie.
Sure. Like,
yeah.
Just build to it. Build to it. Don't go.
I know, but I mean, you know, like, when, at what point are we getting to the underground fight club?
Never go full R word.
Yeah.
No.
True. Fight club. Never go full fight club.
And this film didn't yet. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, should we rate it? I do. There are a couple of little things I want to talk about.
Yeah, sure. Runtime question that was in there. Yeah, 120 minutes. It didn't feel overlong to me.
I don't know.
No.
Well, I was watching it and I kind of got to the third act and I was ready for it to be done.
Sure.
You know, like I wanted a big enough twist in that third act to make it worthwhile. Sure. And I didn't really get it. So I was like,
Sure. I mean, yeah. All right. Do you have an idea of ratings? If anyone sees it in the chat, chuck the rating in there.
Yeah, if you've seen it, put a number. I will look for the number with the 100 symbol because it helps me.
I was lower and then I raised it back up a couple of notches because a couple of the times I went, that's actually quite genuinely funny. And especially one gag, which I was like, oh no, this is the worst. And then by the end of the gag, I was like, it got better over time.
It aged in the moment.
It did. It aged in the moment. And I went, that's actually really fucking funny. Like, it was awkward and awful and cringe. Yes. For like 3 minutes, and then by the end of it, I was like, "Oh, this is."
They held it.
Yeah, don't you?
And you had to.
Don't you dare go to the fucking chorus, Jill. So yeah, mine was lower, and now it's come back up to 65. That's mine.
Okay, Dion is in as a 65.
Oh wow! Yeah. Okay, I gave Megan 1.90 last time.
Wow.
Yes.
I really fucking loved it.
Yeah, I remember.
I still enjoyed this movie. I'm not going to be ashamed about enjoying the movie. Like, no. Especially because it pandered to my tastes. Mm. The only thing that disappointed me was that there was not one horror element left in it. That was the whole point of it being so great the first time. Yeah. So, I mean, I still loved it. The characters are great. Megan is fantastic. The jokes were dumb. I lived. Maybe a 75.
Okay.
This time. Nice. Yeah. If they had had, like, if it was still a true horror film, it would probably be a 90 again. But alas.
Yeah. I'm probably gonna split. No, actually no, I'm gonna close the deal on this one. It's so frustrating watching something where you can see the elements of something really fun and then go, where did that go? Like, where's the tension? Where's the scares? Where's the anything that feels slightly horrific or, you know, any of that? And also, you know, as you said, you know, including Shin Hottie in there basically means that, like, if she's meant to be the scary thing, then use her as the scary thing, but she's not scary.
No, she's so just sexy.
Sexy.
And I'm like, can she stalk me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would, yes.
Are you a god?
I'll get chest and ab implants too. Just so like, so yeah, I'm down with Day. I reckon I'm a 65 as well. It's okay, but it's not a patch on the first one.
Nah.
And there are a couple of points where I was like, I don't even remember where Megan got damaged, but then she shows up with the horror, you know, melted face and stuff, and I was like, doesn't feel earned. Doesn't feel like, you know. There's just missing stuff.
Know. Yeah, they tried to turn everything into a gag.
They really did. They really, really did. Okay. Right. Do we have a clippity doodah or something?
We've got an extra long clip that I'm going to play the entire thing of, and this is after Mithregan has been upgraded, so now she knows kung fu.
Oh,
Just wanted to say great job on those actuators.
You're welcome.
Hey, so remember the time I strangled you and set the lab on fire? I just wanted to clarify that my programming only allowed me to count principles related to my primary user. As a result, I was unable to see you and Tess as being consequential. But I want you to know that won't happen again. I want you to know. I see you.
Thank you.
Is she or is she not going to be Murderbot again? Find out more when you go and see Mithragon. I'm putting the spoiler thing up. There we go. Perfect. Okay. Not covering anyone seeing that. Yeah.
All right, we're all dying to fucking talk about it.
What the fuck was up with the singing? The musical number that you just like.
Yeah, yeah. We got an amazing rendition of Titanium in the first film.
Mm.
Yeah.
And this time around, we got a bit of Kate Bush.
We did.
I never recognized it. I was just like, what are we singing here?
But I mean, like that was a joke that I saw, like that came up, and that's the one where I'm like, yeah, this is not great. This is just awful. What are they trying to do here? And then they I think that's like a metaphysical, like, you know, they've got the meta of this. It's gone through, and they know that inside the actual scene, they're like, this is fucking terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah. And we're going to keep it going to make it uncomfortable.
Yeah,
and now it's funny, uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Look.
Come on, the whole cinema laughed when that happened.
Oh yeah, for that one, I was just thinking, man, photocopiers. Why the fuck are photocopiers the worst thing?
Yeah, that was strange.
That felt like a gag out of someone who's like, oh, we saw Office Space and we hate printers and stuff, right? So what if we made the actual villain of this entire thing a photocopier that's basically been kept in a gulag and is now the worst thing in the planet?
Yeah. I mean, though technically not even a photocopier. It was just Rob. It was Rob from Nintendo.
But is that true that if you isolate like an AI from anything, it just grows smarter? Like to me, that sounds like the complete antithesis of what would actually happen.
It was such an idiotic concept. That, you know, oh, it's been left alone, so it's just gotten more and more dangerous. I'm like, no, it would just be running exactly the same processes
also,
over and over.
Why is it connected to any kind of power?
Yeah, just like, turn it
what
off.
What are you using it for? And that was the moment, the Superman 3 moment, where like they finally connect to the black box or whatever the fuck it was called.
Yeah, motherboard, I don't know.
Yeah, the motherboard. God. And I was like, oh, cool. We got to get I was really hoping for a weird Superman 3 fucking like electrical shit coming out and overtaking people and like, you know, go full body horror, go a little bit of fucking Cronenberg, you know, really delve deep into the almost like it's the kind of shit. If you've set up this horrific AI that has just been stewing in its own evil for 40 years, then make that some cosmic horror shit. Don't just make it Shin Hottie with glowing eyes. I was like, come on, fuck's sake. Yeah, disappointing. Got very, very angry at that bit.
Yeah, it was strange.
And I was sad that, like, they made, like, some of the returning supporting cast was also great. Like their interactions were still good and they were the voice of reason, which is all the audience going, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you even interacting with this thing that tried to kill everyone? And then they try, like, they do that, like putting it into that weird robo body, the little kind of one. That was actually a cute and fun way of doing that. And then that thing did nothing and they immediately skipped past that. They moved all the jokes or anything you could have done with it, you know. Fun, you could
I thought
have
that was going to be half the film.
Yeah, if you have had it like in that way for half the film, sure. I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, then earn the upgrade at the end. Yeah.
And there was a moment of something that they used that I was like, actually, that's kind of creepy and cool. There was a moment where they've been working on a like a exosuit.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, helps people move and can, you know, that's what they're trying to move people around. And at one point that becomes animated by itself, by, you know, something inside it. And I was like, that would have been fucking creepy. You know, in a dark house, this thing that's coming towards you that moves in completely inhuman ways.
If two-thirds of the movie was Megan jumping around things,
fuck yeah,
trying to get a new body, and then you pay it off in the third act, you give her a body and she defeats the bad guy, that would have worked so much better than giving her a body at the end of the first act.
Yeah. Like, she goes through, like, cute little body, then she goes her own half-rebuilt body.
Or if she started out in the weird, like, exoskeleton thing, and then it's like, oh, my God, it's Megan, and she's, like, trying to kill people and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then give her the harmless one with no arms.
I'm trying to remember.
So much of that would have been much more entertaining.
The film Upgrade, but I was thinking more of, like, do you remember the film, the horror film Hardware from the 80s?
Mm.
You know, which was about a... You know, a robot that slowly rebuilds itself out of junk. Yeah. All right.
A fucking poltergeist. Like, you know.
Yeah, that, like.
Possessing inanimate objects.
Yeah. Like, they've forgotten the face of their fathers. They have forgotten where they came from. And, you know.
The horror films that paved the way.
I mean, I feel like they had when they were doing the ideation for it and they're writing all the scenes and they're thinking about the action pieces that they can have with it. It's like, great, you've got enough content there for about, five movies.
Yeah, exactly.
If you just took each one of those and gone, hey, yeah, exoskeleton version, then, you know, weird cutesy robot version, then like, oh, body rebuilt version. It's like, great, that's actually separate movies with cool, creepy things you could do along the way to make all that and include that kind of crazy sense of humor. And, you know, sassy attitude.
Yeah. What if they stumbled upon, you know, Megan rebuilding herself and she's like, you know, that half created corpse dragging along the floor.
Exactly. Kind of who wanted to play a tea party motif with a little girl that's all she's in her brain. And she's like, I'm 43 years old. I'm not a little girl anymore. You know, it's kind of like, oh.
Yeah. They took the cheap way out. I think.
Yeah. And they went for yassification and they went for superhero. I feel like
they didn't go for yassification. They went for merchandising opportunities.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. The marketing team wrote the movie.
Yeah. I feel like a little that way. Like it looked like, you know, Megan had enough versions in the sequel that you're like, oh, that's an action figure line.
Yeah. So we've got sci-fi robo doll Megan. We've got like original Megan rebuilt. We've got
assassin Amelia, cyber Amelia. You know,
motherboard god Amelia.
Yeah, or you know, low-jacking the brain implant Megan, which is actually.
Yeah. Once again, and there was an idea. Yes, Megan LaBubu. I love it.
That's the one in the squirrel outfit where she's flying into the Silicon Valley.
Oh, see, and that was the whole moment where I went, what the fuck? Did we just become like, you know, Tom Cruise?
Yeah, exactly.
At what point in time did Megan have to become Tom
Cruise? She's a robot. She doesn't show up on anything. Why is she flying in stealth mission? Like,
it was dumb. It was just dumb. It was Benoit Blanc dumb. But yeah, like on a very surface level, yeah, okay, that's fun. Yeah, great. But it's not because it's dumb and it doesn't add up to anything. And there are so many better ideas out there. Why aren't they hiring us?
I don't know, Quinny. Start pitching them. And then
I guess we do have somebody who's very good at pitching on our team, so maybe we should.
Quinny, you start writing it, then you hand that writing over to Jill. Jill will yassify the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
I'll add.
It's not within an inch of its life.
Yeah, and then she'll give it to me, and I'll add all the things that the executives want to cut out so that they feel like they've done something. Then we should be able to get it through. No worries.
Sweet.
And then Peter will take all those ideas, screw them up, throw them away, and make something worthy.
An actual thing that is good.
Yeah. That has nothing to do with killer robots and more stuff to do with, I don't know, crocodiles.
Yeah. And like the environment.
Yeah. Worthwhile projects.
Okay.
Well, you know, look, hey, that's all I've got to say about Mithregan.
So I'm very excited because what are we doing next week, folks?
Next week, you mean for the show or yes. next week for the screening? Next Wednesday, special time again, next Wednesday, mm-hmm. or we are going back to Dinotopia. That's right. They made a movie about the Dinotopia books, which are quite excellent. So all of those things there. Now, it's the seventh film in the franchise of Jurassic something.
All I need to know.
Yes.
I haven't seen it yet because I came down sick and couldn't go to the screening.
Don't worry. We went for you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Are they doing Dino Riders yet? Motherfuckers.
No.
No.
I don't understand why this is so hard.
There's some dinos riding, though.
Yeah, actually.
I feel so uncomfortable with that. No.
I mean, there was also a lot of...
Karina's just said, Jonathan Bailey's slutty little glasses pressed to her. Even those slutty little glasses could not save this film.
Next Wednesday, Jill. Hold off for that one.
Yeah.
Next
Everyone
week.
Everyone knows my love for wanton dinosaur destruction.
Yep.
I'm wanting dinosaur destruction.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah,
I mean, we'll do all that and more next Wednesday. Yeah. But because we're doing it Wednesday, because on Tuesday, what are we doing?
We're going to watch Soupy
Man. Yes. Which is save us, James Gunn, save us.
I'm just looking forward to Nathan Fillion's bowl cut. More than anything.
Who knows? Who knows what that's going to be?
Is he playing Guy Gardner?
100%.
How have you missed this, Jill?
I keep seeing Guy Gardner in the trailer, but I didn't realize it was Nathan Fillion.
And when you look at it, you're like, oh, that's actually pretty much perfect for Guy Gardner.
Yeah, yeah. And as long as he's a complete dick.
Yep.
Yeah.
That'd be it. He just
have you seen the videos where he's using his ring constructs as just big middle fingers? I'm like,
no.
Oh, God, I'm going to like this movie, aren't I?
We'll I'm looking forward to it, if nothing else, just because there's a whole bunch of fucking crypto.
And then at the end of the month, don't forget we're doing the movie that's out today on Netflix, which is The Old Guard 2.
Old Guard.
Yes.
There you go. You got your homework. Got your stuff there.
Yep. Plenty of stuff out there.
Just before we all end up, I just want to get a quick litmus test. How are you all feeling about the Running Man trailer?
Ooh. What's that?
What?
Oh.
Wait.
Hey, there you go.
I've Jill? Been doing work.
Did
at work, which sucks. Well, so
more fool you.
Doing work at home, which sucks too.
Ew.
You should just have a window open on your computer that you can hide quickly when someone walks past you with trailers running constantly.
How can I hear them?
No, one ear pod like thing that's in there.
Ooh, Glenn Powell.
Yeah.
Did you watch the 80s one, Schwarzenegger, Running Man?
Maybe.
He's a convict. He's being chased down by Dynamo and Chain Buzzsaw. And you like it. A bunch of 80s wrestlers are the villains in it who are like, who have been yassified and have come out and try to hunt down Arnold Schwarzenegger. You'll love it.
It's very 80s WWF.
Yeah.
Animal and Hawk, fucking the Undertaker and all that kind of stuff. But the idea being that, this guy has signed up or has been essentially press ganged into participating in this televised death race where American gladiators chase you all over the place and try and kill you.
And instead of just knock you out, they actually literally cut you in half with a chainsaw. Like,
and it's all televised. So
my cup of tea.
Yeah, it's based on a Richard Bachman book, a la Stephen King.
Yep.
And the original always had a bit of a darker, more kind of like social commentary thing of like, could you imagine where our world's gotten so bad that people
would take do this?
A gig, you know, where they just possibly get hunted down. But if they survive, they get all the money in the world or whatever. And that was before reality TV became a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, I love that Stephen King was like, oh, this is just reality TV before it exists.
One little thing. I actually read the book. I watched the movie and I read the book, and the book has a much different ending, which is way fucking darker. But now Edgar Wright is remaking The Running Man, and it's Glenn Powell. And Glenn Powell has been kind of, again, press ganged or set up to be in this game. And the game is the same sort of thing, but in this world of the current state, which is constant surveillance, people are around you all the time, everyone has phones, and everyone is playing. Like, they've got some hunters that are trying to kill you, but if you feed the information of the location or the whereabouts of this person to a hunter, you can win money too.
Okay.
So everyone's on the hunt for you, and you just have to survive 36 hours. That's it.
The unfortunate thing is now looking at the state of America and, like,
yeah,
you know, ICE and stuff, I'm like, oh, shit, this is, it's gotten a little bit fucking close.
I feel like it's we're 6 months away from this actually being a new thing.
Mm-hmm. I'm just, worried that people are going to go, oh, let's do that. Let's do that as an actual thing.
But not here. We haven't got there just yet.
No. We're doing okay.
Hey, at the moment, look, in New South Wales, the rain has stopped. It's the cyclone bomb hasn't been too bad, and the sun's out. So everything's great. Peachy keen.
Yeah.
Happy days.
Yeah, we're doing all right. Yeah, are you guys doing okay? I haven't seen you for a while.
I don't know. You've been where? D&D's?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I do want to give a little bit of a shout out to the wonderful critters of Australia.
Like echidnas and koalas.
Drop bears, taipans.
Kangaroos.
Kangaroo. I went down to Melbourne last week, which is why I couldn't do the show.
Where you got
COVID.
Yes, there's a distinct possibility. Good to know. That's where I got the rona.
Anyone else who went to Melbourne to Rod Laver Arena last week, it's Quinny. Quinny gave you COVID.
Yep. All 11,000 of you. I'm so sorry. But yeah, it was lovely, and you know, another 5-hour show of D&D, which was very entertaining, and Tom Carty was very, very good. He did both shows very, very entertaining, held his own against, you know, people who have been doing this for 10 years, and there's nothing quite like seeing 11,000 fucking D&D nerds singing along to a song and shining all their lights. It was like going to a massive music concert, but you watch them do maths on stage. Like, at one point, I'm pretty sure somebody was like adding up their scores and was like, 11,000 people watching me do maths. This is like every nightmare I've ever had.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, and we saw Tari, who was in the chat before, but I don't think she's there anymore. Fantastic. And
so you got a pretty kanga and a Tari.
Mm-hmm. Pratakanga in Sydney, Tari in Melbourne. Caught up with some friends, had a lovely time. Generally, it was fucking delightful. And I have been paying for it ever since.
Excellent.
I've been so sick.
Excellent.
I've been watching a lot of TV. I watched a weird TV show called Scavenger's Reign, and everybody should check it out. Actually, no, I'm not going to say that. It is the weirdest fucking animated series I've ever watched. And it's, I have a thing called trypophobia, where, you know, seeing holes and uneven patterns and stuff like that creeps me the fuck out. This show is just all that. It's just Cronenberg body horror, fucking weird, alien, mushroom, creepy oddness. But it's really quite cool. Like, very slow burn, very weird. Have you ever seen The Art of Mobius, the French designer?
Yes. I know of Moob, the Moob.
Yeah. It's like a lot of that. Anyway.
Yeah, right.
And no, I didn't go to the Lego Star Wars exhibition. I'm sorry.
How dare you? You're not one of us anymore, Quinny. I'm looking forward to going seeing some soccer soon.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
Off to see Wrexham.
Have you watched the last of the episodes of this season?
Yes.
I have not.
Again? Yes.
Yes.
I have not. And Jill, you're going to get your wrestle on soon?
I am. I got fucking tickets to fucking WWE in October. I'm going to SmackDown. I'm going to Crown Jewel. I'm going to Raw. Fuck yeah.
Nice.
That's so cool. Where's that on? Here in Sydney? Or?
No, it's at the RAC in Perth.
Oh, fuck. They often go to Perth. I don't know why.
Because they have a 3-year contract with WA government.
Oh, I always wondered why. Yes. Like, because that's a long fucking way to go. Yeah.
Yes, but also the WA government has money. And also, all of the FIFO workers over there probably really do like the wrestling.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's be honest. That's well and truly down for that. That's creating a stereotype. And I'm like, very, I won't go to that.
Very excited, though. It was a little bit of a Taylor Swift moment trying to get the tickets.
Oh, we got them.
Yeah, and that's I'm just trying to think what else is coming out this week. Oh, Naked Gun at the end of the month and Fantastic Four. So
yeah, and our we are definitely keen to try and sort out Fantastic Four.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Yeah, who knows?
We'll see what happens.
There's currently rumors that Pedro Pascal might even be here for the premiere.
Get the fuck out.
Which is making everyone panic that who, yeah. like, I don't.
So if he's here for the premiere, we probably won't be going to the screening.
No, we won't be able to get within 400 kilometers of the screening because of the screaming.
Yeah. Oh, all of them are coming for it.
Yeah, well, I mean.
We're definitely not going to a screening.
Maybe we will. Who knows? Like, you know, they're just going to do their thing.
Put the request in, but, you know.
Who knows?
Pretty Kangas said, "Yeah, Strange New Worlds coming back at the end of the week, end of the month."
No, I have to resub to Paramount. Fuck.
That's it.
Yarr.
Also, off
metal.
That's right. Foundation. Yeah. Foundation season is coming.
Yep,
I like enjoying it. Fine.
I know that's your old man sci-fi that you're into.
Leave me alone. We're all fine.
Yeah. As always, there's plenty of stuff coming out. Yeah, Sandman season 2. I feel deeply fucking conflicted about Sandman season 2. Yeah.
Everyone is, including everyone who made it.
Yeah. Like, I'm watching the cast kind of go, hey, I did a lot of work and here it is. And I'd love it if you'd watch it.
Yeah. I think one of the nicest things about everyone involved with the Sandman season 2 of that, they've all gone, oh my God, it would be really lovely if you watch it. But if you can't, we understand.
Yeah.
Like, no one is coming out going, oh, it's weird that you won't watch it. They're all like, no, we get it.
We get it.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, he's also done a fairly significant job of divorcing himself from that production and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing he still makes money off it. So,
like a J.K. Rowling thing.
Yeah. Though, like, J.K. Rowling's an even bigger piece of shit.
Yeah.
Tell you what, though, the plot in Sanctuary Moon on Murderbot's getting interesting.
Oh, shit.
Do you know what? I haven't actually gone back. I have to go back. I only got up to episode six of the season, so yes. I have to go back and
watch the next one.
I watched a couple more on the weekend because I was like, yep, let's get it into me while I'm sick. Let's get that into my eyes, even though they sting. Yes, very excited.
Oh, also, I watched Sinners. Bizarre twist ending at the end of Squid Game season 3.
Oh, haven't watched that yet.
I'm over Squid Game. It's too commercial.
Wow. I fucking cried. It was great. Oh. I loved it. Except for the weird last 60 seconds.
much like 20.
After the stream, in case anybody in the chat wants to watch it. I don't want to spoil it for
much you. Like, no, I think that's a good idea because it's only just come out.
Much like 28 years later, which is like, oh, that was a weird last 3 minutes, fuck's sake. But yeah. Jill's going
to
do this.
I'm glad that there's a sequel to that coming out straight away.
No, Jill's going to do this because she's going to go, she hasn't watched any of the 28s yet.
Oh, so right.
We're going to make sure she watches all 5 films in a row. Yeah, and she knows all about it. The first one is funny, and then the second one is a big deviation. But we go there; it's fine.
I'm not entirely sure that I'd go that the first one is funny, but there you go.
Each to their own.
No, 28 days. 28 days later.
Oh,
28 weeks later. 28 years later.
That's why I was confused about being 5 films.
That's what I said. Wait, what? Oh, no. There's a point to this.
Theon playing the long game of comedy.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Yes, Karina.
Yes, the joke. I have brain fog, something fierce.
I know. You weren't even here for the podcast. We made those jokes already.
Yeah, I haven't even listened to it yet, and I'm sorry. Yeah. I will, though, because I do want to hear what you thought of Last of Us Season 2.
Stunk.
Not a fan.
Right. Interesting news that came out today, though, that Neil Druckmann has dropped off Season 3.
Why?
Very worrying news.
Neil, why?
I don't know, and it's
Neil,
scary.
It's your baby. What?
That's the thing that worries me, because, like, you look in the past of when people, like, key creators have dropped off, and it's usually been because of creative differences, and I'm like, do not fuck with that. Like,
yeah,
The Last of Us Part 2 is very fucking tightly balanced. And if you fuck up that balance, you're going to make a real piece of shit.
Yeah, I thought, like, Neil and Craig were, like, really same page for us.
Same. Yeah. Okay, he wants to focus on Naughty Dog Project. Okay, well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
But drama.
As long as, like, they go to him with, like, the info or whatever.
Well, yeah, fuck, I hope so. Like, I mean, maybe
as long as it's not, oh, he left because he was conflicting with what they wanted to do, or anything like that.
Yeah, maybe he's left because he's like, well, I've done my job. You've got the scripts, you're fine.
Or maybe he's just like, Craig, I trust you completely, like, do this.
That would be nice. Fingers crossed, anyway.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Like,
thank you.
On this weird Thursday night, that was really nice to, like, sorry we threw out your schedule, and it's a bit weird for this.
I'm sorry I didn't tell you until half an hour before it came out.
That's all right. No, we're all good. We're all here. It's only one more day left. Yeah, remember, the week's almost over. It's Friday tomorrow.
Fuck.
Or Fri-one-day, if we're going through this whole.
I'm not going to offer tomorrow.
Yeah, Poet's Day.
Poet's Day.
Poet's Day.
Yeah, I've been having the last, like, I did a full day yesterday and regretted it because I'm still fucking sick. Like, and today I hit 2:30 and I was like,
time.
I'm going to go and lie down for a bit.
Yep.
And then watch the 3 again.
Sounds like a good time. All right, everyone. I'm going to go.
Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Enjoy your weekend.
Bye. Yeah. We love you guys.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.